Old Down Under. Turn this banger up. Not a bomb, judging Aussie tunes. Aussie music, mate. Alternative Down Under. Alternative Down Under.
Hello, episode 11 of Alt Down Under. I am Luke Scanlon, back with you after another bit of a lengthy absence. Again, life has got in the way of this here podcast. Alt Down Under, sorry, has been on the back burner for a little bit, but I did end up on a very last minute trip back to the UK over Christmas. It was meant to be up in Byron Bay, plans fell through. So yeah, I literally, within the space of about 3 days, I was like, could go back and make the cousin's wedding. And yes, very pleased to be back here with another episode for you. Another big interview on the way, which I'm very much looking forward to bringing to you.
Alt Down Under.
So yes, 2025, a new year, a new dawn, a new load of music for us to get our teeth into. But also 2025, I don't know why, it sounds like it's got a nice 2025. Sounds like it's got girth that year, isn't it? The name of it is pretty beefy, you know. It's got a bit of weight to it, which I like, and it also just feels like a year that feels right for a bit of nostalgia, a bit of looking back. And I've been doing exactly that this year. I've been on a mission to go a bit old school and actually listen to albums all the way through, cover to cover. I've mentioned this in a previous episode, but it's something we don't do now, do we, with streaming. And I'm really, really enjoying it at the moment. I'm harking back to an album I loved exactly 10 years ago from a band close to my heart, a band called Peace, and their second album, Happy People. Jeez, man, I forgot the tunes on there. Lost on Me is unbelievable. Jen Strange, Perfect Skin, Happy People, Money. And for those of you lovers out there, not just pure lovers, I mean lovers of a filthy little bass line, go and listen to World Pleasure. It's a tune I've been lucky enough to see many times live, but I mean, just listen to this for a little breakdown and a bass line. Nostalgia again has reared its head in a slightly downbeat way in the last couple of weeks. Sad news from the British music scene. The drummer of the band The Jam, who are obviously big as part of the punk new wave scene late 70s into the early 80s in the UK, their drummer Rick Buckler sadly passed away. So The Jam, massive part of my childhood, and I think it's always a horrible thing when an artist linked closely to childhood memories and just your upbringing. When someone dies like that, it's horrible. A bit like Bowie all those years ago. That's 9 years ago now. And yeah, I've just obviously been going back through The Jam's back catalogue. I listen to them quite regularly anyway. But yeah, such a great drummer. And some of the tunes, Funeral Pyre, particularly on that track, you can really hear the talent that he had with the sticks in his hand. And yeah, The Jam, just, you forget how big a band they were. Obviously, Paul Weller's gone on to do amazing things in his solo career and with Style Council. But yeah, The Jam themselves, they had 6 albums between 77 and 82. 18 consecutive top 40 singles in the UK, which obviously, at the time when the chart was actually a thing and people paid attention to it, mega. 4 of those 18 going to number one as well. So yeah, unbelievable. And I quite liked this quote from Rick Buckler that he came out with a few years ago. I'm not the greatest in the world, but I did take a leaf out of Ringo Starr's book. He realized that the song is the star. None of us were really outstanding musicians in The Jam in a lot of ways. But I think we're trying to be as inventive as we possibly could so that we work well together as a band. Love that. Just a 3-piece machine. Quite unconventional for the time to have a 3-piece band. And even still now, can't really think of many 3-piece outfits out there at the moment. Love that quote. Rest in peace, Rick Buckler.
Alternative Down Under. All right.
Right,
today's episode then, episode 15 of Lockdown Under, I have a chat with a duo. We've gone, just mentioned a trio there in the jam, and this is a British duo, an electronic dance soul duo. They span the genres, these guys. But again, slice of nostalgia running through the core of this episode. This is a group whose debut album came out in 2014. Many, many memories tied to their debut album. Back in my uni days, I remember listening to them driving in my car, pre-drinks, or just, you know, just chilling actually at home, listening to their debut album and thinking, how the hell am I going to afford this night out? I've got zero money to give. That album, Warm on a Cold Night, and that's, of course, from the brilliant Hon. I'm not just by myself. Into our chat with today's artist in residence, a duo that have such a soulful tinge to their sound. I think that's what drew me to them all the way back in 2013, 2014 when I first got into them. Here is my chat with James and Andy from Hon.
Alternative Down Under.
Andy and James from Hon, how are we, guys? Welcome to Alt Down Under.
Thank you very much. Yeah, we're well. Thank you for having us.
Love that. Guys, I have to ask, have you ever thought of doing like a celebrity duo power name? Because you've got quite good surnames that should be put together, like Clutterach or something.
Yeah.
Or I should just get kicked out of the band and it can just be called Clutterbuck straight up.
I mean, I know you've been around for a while as Hon, but there's always a rebrand.
Yeah, that's true.
You never know.
Clutterhatch just rolls off the tongue, doesn't it?
Oh yeah, yeah, definitely one to remember. Yeah, that one. Jesus. Yeah. So guys, I have to say, when an email came, I'm gonna say came across my desk like I'm running a global enterprise here. I was very happy to see your name, because you're a duo slash group slash artist, whatever banner you want to put yourselves under, that I've honestly known about for a very long time. Like back in my uni days, I was at Royal Holloway in London.
Oh, wait.
Outskirts of London.
Right.
And yeah, it was very much pre-drinks stuff. Put on a bit of Hon.
Love it.
Get you in a bit of mood. It was great. So I just wanted to take you back quickly to 2014, your first album, Warm on a Cold Night. What do you think of when you think back to those times? Because like when I was prepping for this interview, I was listening to the old tunes like Gone Are the Days, The Night, Good Together.
Oh, wow.
And honestly, I just drop back straight there.
Yeah.
Do you ever revisit your early stuff and like kind of think about that period?
We still play a lot of the album live. So we're still playing like Warm and a Cold Night, Good Together. Sometimes we play Woman, Coastal Love, 3 AM, all sorts. Yeah, I still really love a lot of that music. I think it was really fun making it. And it kind of takes me back to, it was our first ever taste of success or people caring about anything we'd made and coming to shows. So yeah, it kind of like Warm on a Cold Night kind of changed our lives in a way.
Yeah, unbelievable. Possible. Yeah, I can imagine that was a pretty hectic period for the both of you.
Yeah, the first two albums were, we were touring a lot. I think there were times where we were on the road for like 6 months of each year accumulatively.
Yeah.
Which are, my girlfriends did not like.
Yeah, I can imagine. But yeah. I remember at the time when you came out, like, I'm trying to think of the albums that came around that sort of time, like Bombay Bicycle Club had an album out that year. But in terms of like electronic stuff, you guys had like a warmth to your sound that I don't think a lot of acts had at that time. And that seems like something that you've kept within your sound, which I really like. So has that always been key to everything that you've kind of, when you've been putting pen to paper and doing what electronic duos do? As you can tell, I'm not well versed in that. But has that always been at the core of what your thinking has been behind Hon?
Yeah, I think we always considered our music to be warm, like warm and kind of analog and like just full of character. We always try and keep the character in there. Like even if it's a mistake or there's a sound in the background, we just, I think it, all the times that you take that stuff out, you just strip back any personality that, you know, that the music has. So we just try and keep that stuff in. And yeah, I think as well, like especially back in the day, lyrically, it was quite sexy. So I think that helped. I think that kind of, yeah, I always felt like at the time when Warm on a Cold Night came out, we were one of the only people or one of the only bands at that time to kind of be singing about that stuff that wasn't like a pop, big pop song or pop act. Yeah, I don't know. So maybe that set us apart a little bit as well.
Yeah, I've always loved that because you kind of like you create tunes that are very much good driving by yourself solo, but also sound great on a massive sound system and live. So it's kind of, you managed to traverse both parallels, which is brilliant. So I'm going to move you forward to the present day. Something I wanted to ask you about, something that's going on in the UK at home, which I've kind of kept abreast of, and I'm sure you guys are across as well. And I think it's something that definitely translates over here in kind of the wider music industry. Kate Nash, as I'm sure you've seen, set up her OnlyFans page and did the Butts for Tour Buses campaign, all behind grassroots venues. And how many are being shut down? Like, just reading here, the report last year, I think it was one grassroots venue closed every 2 weeks in the UK in 2024, which is absolute madness. Crazy. So that being a present day story, but again, looking back to that 2014 period and obviously before you even released the first album, like, does that worry you a lot, like looking down to younger artists and kind of seeing what is going on with the present state of things? Because obviously I think that's just like a wider problem in music anyway. But what are your guys' take on that?
Yeah, I think we're extremely lucky. I think if you're an artist now starting out in the current climate, it's extremely difficult to, well, firstly navigate and also just try and make things work, because it's, from like a touring side of things, it's so prohibitively expensive going on tour. And yeah, like you said, like a lot of the venues that we first played when we started out have closed down. And also just the volume of music coming out, there's so much competition as well. It's a really difficult time. I think starting out, which, yeah, it makes it very, very tough. And I think we're extremely lucky to have come through when we did.
It's never been more of a democracy in terms of people having the opportunity to try and make it themselves if they want to. Whereas, like, we were kind of on, we were still, when we started, on that precipice of like, you kind of did still have to sign a major deal. There were a few people who didn't, like Tom Misch, who was some of the first people on AWOL and still had a really great successful career. But now more than ever, I think there's a lot of artists coming up who managed to write really good music, have a good social media presence, and that means they can sign better deals, like indie deals, and build a career that way rather than the kind of traditional way. But yeah, cutting through the noise of social media.
Yeah, for sure. It feels like you've got to be like a thousand jobs plus an artist. That's the thing that strikes me. And I've had like upcoming bands from Australia and from back home on this podcast and a previous podcast I did. And I'm like, fair fucks to you still taking a stab at it, because like they've even come on and been like, you know, if it wasn't for the love of the music, then fuck this, because it's so hard. And I fully appreciate people doing it, because I love live music. There's a lot of people obviously out there that love it as punters, love it as musicians themselves.
Yeah.
So hopefully something happens, because I think it's actually gone to Parliament in the UK that they're trying to save all these grassroots venues, because it's just like, what's going on?
Yeah. But yeah, I think it's probably partly like the cost of living crisis as well. Like 10, 15 years ago, people were doing that, like going and having a couple of drinks and going to a gig more often. But yeah, The climate's definitely shifted a lot.
Exactly,
it?
Exactly. Onto a lighter note then. Let's not drag ourselves down too much. The latest album, guys. Ouch. Love the name. Love the album. You've said that it's your most personal album to date. And I think just even on first glance, you can tell that and you get that impression. And there's a lot of joy throughout those songs as well. So again, looking back to that first album up to the present day, is that kind of reflective of the comfort you're finding in your own skin as humans and as a group as well?
Yeah, I think just part of like Hon's trademark is to provide like a positive soundtrack to people's lives. And yeah, like even though the album's called Ouch and there are some like lower sort of tones on the album, like from a lyrical point of view, we still think Ouch is a very positive and like upbeat album and leaves kind of people, you know, hopefully feeling, you know, quite happy. And the last song kind of summarizes it all and says that life, we've only got one chance at it, so let's make the most of it whilst we can. That's it.
Bloody good stuff. That's a great statement. Yeah. Put that in the press. Yeah. I love that. And yeah, because you've been touring already, but you've got a few time of recording, a few days time, and the next week you're playing Manchester, Bristol, Roundhouse, by the way, in London, one of my all-time favourite venues. Yeah, I miss that place a lot. You're also playing at Roundhouse in Sydney on March 19th, and then you're down in my present hometown, Melbourne, at the Forum. So how many times have you guys been down this way playing?
I think we've done a festival and two of our own shows, so maybe this will be the fourth time.
It's great. What are your thoughts on Oz? Because obviously the trip is an absolute bitch. It's like it actually ruins me. I think coming out this way is worse than flying back to the UK.
Yeah, that makes sense.
I agree as well. I think after the last time we flew direct, well, not direct, but we flew from London to Brisbane.
Yeah,
and we were like, next time we play here, we need to be already playing some gigs in Asia because we cannot do this again. We're too old and we're going to die. So as soon as we had a couple of festivals in Asia come up in March, and to our manager, I was like, we need to book Australia. Like, we've got a week in between some festivals.
Yeah,
we need to go to Australia because that's like our golden opportunity to head down there.
But yeah, hopefully I'll come down to that show, guys. And great to see you in front of an Australian audience. If you're ready, we'll very quickly rip through the Dream Gig venue.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. I'll have 2 pints, please. Oh, I love this band. Get us a couple of frothies, mate. Yeah, boy. Yeah. Where are you going to have your dream gig, mate? The Dream Gig venue. Step this way.
I'm always intrigued by duos doing dream gig venues because it's often just ends up being an argument. So we'll see how it goes.
We haven't conferred either, so this could be interesting.
Oh shit. The tour's no longer happening.
Yeah.
First up we have, what is the name of the dream gig venue you're going for? This can be as weird and wacky as you like.
Go on, James. You make the name of the venue.
Hon's World of Adventures.
Wow.
It's the name of the venue.
I fully expect there to be a roller coaster there.
Yeah.
Slide to get in. It's a water slide to get in.
Oh, wow. There you go. Yeah. Well, that leads me on to my next question. What is the dress code? Because is everyone going to be in wetsuits?
So it's wetsuits or, you know, whatever, swimming shorts and bikinis or whatever you want. But you have to take, when you get inside, you have to take a waterproof suit bag and be wearing a full suit or dress.
Just a lot of luggage, basically, to the World of Adventures. Yeah. Love that. Brilliant. Andy, I love that you're sat there just going, if you like.
That's great.
Yeah, sure, pal. Nice one. Yeah. Nice one. Okay. Again, this is going to take a weird turn, I believe. The free food you're going to have. I know that's a bit weird to have at a gig venue, but it's a dream gig venue. And what is the free drink you're going to have on tap as well?
The food, maybe you'll resonate with this being a Brit, because I don't know if this is an Australian thing or like a worldwide thing, but those little cocktail sticks with cheddar and pineapple.
I thought you were going to say roast dinner.
All right.
I was like, mate, we do have fish and chips, and you've pulled out the pickled onion and cheddar. Love that.
Yeah, love it.
By the way, can confirm, you guys have said in this interview you have quite sexy music. People might want to get together at your gig and you're putting out cheese and onion. No one's kissing at that gig, man.
Yeah.
Not a great idea.
Absolutely not.
Yeah.
All right, what beverage are we washing the cheese and onion down with?
Oh, Pocari Sweat.
Oh, nice.
That's a nice one. Okay. Keep people hydrated.
Yeah, okay, this is another combo where all I'm thinking is heartburn.
Yeah.
I'm bringing Rennie's, I'm bringing Gaviscon, I'm like toothed up to the nails on heartburn meds.
Yeah.
Okay, next up, support act, dead or alive this can be. You can have a few, whatever floats your boat.
It should be alive.
But I was thinking, Andy, so we've been listening to like one album a week for the last kind of couple of months. And one of them we've been listening to was recommended by a mate of ours. And it's by some jazzers called Getz and Gilberto.
Okay, Getz and Gilberto.
Do you know the song, The Girl from Ipanema?
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
The original of that. And it's so great. It sounds unbelievable. And I was thinking backstage, you know, when we're waiting to go on, and we've got that in the background. Are we playing this gig?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay, cool.
You've got to put yourself headline. Come on now. Cool.
And then this internationally massive artist can support us.
Yeah, absolutely.
And also on there is Dick Dale. Who people are thinking, who the hell is Dick Dale? He's the originator of the...
Oh, nice.
Oh,
Pulp Fiction.
Really.
So,
Fuck yeah.
He'll be there.
If anything, just have him there to play your Walking On track.
Yeah.
That'd be fine. That's great. Yeah. I like the idea of trying to listen to an album like a week at a time. Although, I'm sure you guys appreciate their stuff. Marabou State's new album.
Nice.
Very, very good.
Is it amazing? Yeah.
It's okay, unreal. Cool. Okay, and finally, who are you having as your front door security? This could be your local geezer from down the pub, someone famous, whatever you want to go for.
I was thinking about, considering you're in Australia, then maybe we could have an Australian person. Or, I don't know if anyone will know who this is. Do Australians know who Craig Revel Horwood is?
I have no idea, but that's a mad shout. We can stick him in. Yeah, he's like the pantomime villain of British TV.
He's got quite a good poker face, so he could suss people out.
And Dwayne The Rock Johnson.
Dwayne The Rock comes up almost every other episode of this.
Really?
I need to get him on the show, honestly. I need to get him on for a chat. He doesn't believe how world famous he is. It's unbelievable. There you go. That is Hon's dream world of adventures.
There you go.
Yeah.
Thanks ever so much, Andy and James. Pleasure as always. And very much looking forward to you coming down to Australia. Thanks for your time.
Can't wait, mate. Yeah, thanks very much.
Not a pom. Judging Aussie tunes. Alt Down Under.
There it is, my chat with the boys of Hon. As mentioned there in the conversation, Ouch, their latest album came out at the tail end of 2024. And yeah, the most personal and delicate album we've created, so say the boys. Definitely go and check it out. And in particular, check out the video for their track, Imaginary. It's got an amazing character in it with kind of like a Where's Wally looking head plonked on him, but a massive one. And he's got these eyes on him that just makes you instantly feel sorry for him. Go and check it out. And of course, if you are down here in Australia, go and see them live. Wednesday, 19th March, they play Roundhouse in Sydney, and on the 20th, they're at the Forum in Melbourne. So get to them, get on the new album, and if you haven't come across Hon before, where the bloody hell have you been, mate? Check them out. They are a superb band. Thanks once again for tuning in. That is all from I, Luke Scanlon, here on episode 15 of Alt Down Under. We'll be back in our usual cycle of bi-weekly episodes. Take it easy, guys, and catch you in a couple of weeks.